Hey, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. In a minute, I'm going to ask if you're able to stand to receive the Lord's word. But for now, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. I'm actually going to start reading right at the end of chapter 3 because it actually introduces what John says in chapter 4. And I want us to hear the Lord's word from that perspective. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles back there, so you can just raise your hand. All we ask is that you just take it home with you, and make it your own. But if you have your Bible with you, you are welcome to join us. We are going to walk through God's Word together. If you are able, please stand. I'm going to be reading the Word of the Lord, and I'm going to ask you even to hold your hands out as a reminder that you're receiving the word of God. And when we're done and I say, this is the word of the Lord, just shout a thanks to God. Just a thank you, Lord, wherever you're at. Hear the word of the Lord. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the word of the Lord. You guys are welcome to have a seat. Let's pray. God, as we receive your word, Holy Spirit, take hold of that word and change our hearts with it. The truth that it unpacks for us, that you are alive and you abide with us, that you dwell with us, Lord God, is beyond our comprehension. And yet, this is how you make yourself known. And with all the noise around us, we often don't understand how to hear your voice. So teach us now, God. Teach us now. Open every eye and open every ear. And change every heart who hears this word. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So throughout this letter, John has been using this word abide, right? And we don't often use that word in just our normal everyday language. I think from context, we pick up what it means. But let's talk about what that means. I mean, I'll talk about it when we go to the Lord's table together. But Eugene Peterson has this really great way of talking about this word. Eugene Peterson is the guy who wrote the Message Bible. And whenever this word comes up, he has different ways of phrasing this, but it's all around the same thing. Abide means to dwell with. To either God dwells with us or we dwell with God. Or to live deeply and surely in God. Or one of my personal favorites that my friend Steve pointed out to me was this one: make your home with God. That's what it means to abide. Make your home with. It's the delighted, intimate rootedness of the presence of God and the presence of Christ. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about abide. And up to this point, John has just been talking about what does it mean, or how do we know that we abide in God? Right? I mean, we've heard that over and over again. How do we tell that we abide in God? Well, here, John actually flips it. How do we know that God abides in us? How do we know that God makes his home with us? That's what we're talking about. How do we know? I don't know about you, but I ask myself that question fairly often because there's a lot of voices in my ear. John says, we know that God makes his home and dwells with us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Now look, we're not just talking. I mean, that is a great truth about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit. That is a great truth. But we're not just talking about these high truths and theological truths about God here. We're talking about everything that has to do with the little moments of our lives. Being in the intimate, delighted presence of God. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about how we know that God abides with us. But immediately as he brings that up, by this you know that God abides with you, by his Spirit, immediately that brings up a question. How do you know it's the Spirit? How do you know it's God's Spirit in your ear? How do you know that? I don't know about you. Like I said, I ask myself that question a lot. And I think any serious Christian probably does ask themselves that, at least from time to time. Because there's a lot of noise. How do I know if this is God's Spirit speaking? Or if it's some other spirit speaking? Or if it's just the desires, just the selfish desires of my heart? How do I know if it's not the pepperoni pizza I ate last night? You know? Like, how do I know? Well, John takes that up for us. First of all, John tells us why this is important, okay? In verse 1, he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. By the way, test is not the same sort of testing where, like Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. That's not the kind of testing that John is talking about here. What he's talking about here is prove that it's from God because these things are provable to be from God because they would be in line with his word and with who God is and what he has done. It's not putting God to the test. It's putting what we're hearing to the test. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, he says. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. John primarily is talking about false teaching and false prophets. And there's a whole lot of people who claim that they know the Lord's will for you and your life. And there is a spiritual reality behind them, either from God or from the world. And this is how you tell one from another. This is all, everything we read, this is where it's driving. This is how you tell one from another. So listen up, because this is actually how you should be evaluating what you hear from these lips too. Okay? Look at verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. John is wonderfully obvious, right? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Simple, right? The Spirit of God always confesses Jesus Christ. Always. Always. Now, why is it important that he came in the flesh? I mean, John's got a lot of little sayings about Jesus if you read through this. Read through the letter a few times, you'll pick up on a lot of them. But in this case, he's talking about Jesus has come in the flesh. Why is that important? Now, we don't have time to talk about all the reasons why it's important that Jesus came as fully human and what that means for us. So let's just use John's what John concentrates on. Okay, if Jesus did not come in the flesh, obviously Jesus could not have died for you. Jesus could not have shed his blood for you. And if he has not done that, then everything we're doing here, all the work that we do to gather, to be online, to do all these things, all of it is empty and meaningless if he has not come in the flesh. But that isn't all that John means, okay? Like I said, John has all these things that he says about Jesus. He says Jesus is the life that was made manifest. He says that right at the beginning. He says Jesus is the Son of God. He says Jesus, in chapter 2, when he's again talking about the Antichrist, he says, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? At the end of this letter, he's going to say Jesus is the true God and eternal life. You know, each of these things on their own are super important truths for you. And you should concentrate on them and chew on them and understand what it all means for you. And yet, each one of them is like a tip of an iceberg. The weight and the bulk of it is actually under the water. He's carrying, when he says that the Spirit confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh, he's not just saying, oh, well, as long as those words are said, that's the Spirit of God. Because let's be honest, we could say that and we could mean all kinds of different things about it. We could mean Jesus was just a dude. But that's not what John is saying, and that's not what we're saying. That's not what the Spirit says. When he says any of these things, Jesus is the Son of God, or Jesus has come in the flesh, or he is the Christ, what he means is that Jesus alone is sufficient to save you, powerful to save you, has done the work to save you. Look nowhere else. Look nowhere else. And then each and every time we affirm those things in our, like we really take those things in and we really devour them in our spirits, it carries with it a demand that we lay down everything and we run to Jesus. We lay down everything and we run to Jesus for our acceptance before God, for our adoption as his children, for every bit of our salvation. We are running to Jesus, and then love out of that. Love the way that Jesus loves us. How did he love us? John said it just a few verses ago. He laid his life down for us, so we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and our sisters. My friends, it is this Christ that the Spirit always confesses. Always. Always points to Jesus and says, go that way. Go that way. The Gospel of John. In chapter 14, Jesus says, when he's talking to, on that last night, he's with his disciples, he's talking to them, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. And he says in chapter 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Then a couple chapters later, Jesus says, speaking of the Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit always points at Christ and says, run. Run that way. At any moment, you can know that this is the Spirit of God speaking to you. And then you can take that knowledge up as a weapon in your a weapon to do battle and fight against all the subtle rationalizations that we make for doing the things we do, for not loving other people, for our brothers and sisters, for the self-justifications that we make, the blame shifting that we do, the sins and the shame that we carry. Any spirit that says you don't need Jesus for that is not from God. Period. It is as simple as that. John says that is the Antichrist. Not some horror movie villain, okay? I know I said that a few weeks ago, but that is the popular imagination. That's kind of what we get from that phrase. What John's pointing at here, though, is false teachers and the false spirits that empower those false teachers that would have you look anywhere else other than Jesus. John says, you've already overcome them. You've already overcome them by faith in Jesus, and you must continue to overcome them in the same way. John says, the one who is in you is greater. The one who whispers Jesus' name in your ear is greater than the one who wields all the dark powers of the world against you. He is greater. You have already overcome. You have already overcome. So the first way that John tells us that we know it's the Spirit that is speaking to us is because the Spirit always confesses Jesus. But then he gives us a second way. In verse 5, he says that these spirits and the false teachers, they speak from the world, and the world just eats it up because it tells these false teachers tell the world what they want to hear. And we need to beware of that too. Whispered words in our ear just telling us what we want to hear. But look at verse 6. John says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. He's not making some sudden power play here. This isn't like an early church version of trying to mop up all the power for themselves. What has John been doing this entire letter? He's been doing the same thing that he just said the Spirit always does. He's been pointing you to Jesus. Reminding you over and over again of what Jesus said. Not telling you what's most convenient for you to hear, but telling you the truth. In everything and every way, believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus, and love one another. John and the disciples of Jesus were given authority by Jesus to witness and to testify to the world. And the fruit of that is the New Testament, is the Word of God that we have laying before us today. Whoever knows God listens to us because they're speaking the very Word of God and pointing you to Jesus. God's Word and God's Spirit. Those are the two ways. Those are the two ways you know that it is the Spirit of God speaking to you this morning. And every morning, for that matter. You know, in Galatians, Paul says something very similar to what John says here. He says in Galatians chapter 1. Here, let me turn to it a second. He says, even if we... Speaking of Paul and the people who are with him, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. There is no other gospel. Paul even goes as far to say, if I come and I preach another gospel to you, let me be accursed. That's the thing that's what John is talking about when he says whoever listens to us knows God. The testimony of God's Word. This is how you know that the Spirit of God has made His home with you. And think about that for a second. God makes His home with you. His Spirit, who always confesses Christ, and His Word, with whom His Spirit is always aligned, and His Word always confesses Christ also. If the Spirit, this is, I guess this is where we can take it out of these places of this is how you evaluate whether the words being spoken to you are God's word, and start evaluating whether the thoughts in your head are from God. If the Spirit points to Jesus and says, go that way, you have a point of evaluation for every moment of your life. And it's not some fuzzy, ambiguous test either. It's clear. I think it's practically useful. Is the voice you're listening to leading you to believe in the name of Jesus and love your brother and sister? If it is not, it is not from God. Is the thought you're having pointing to you, or is it pointing to Jesus? Are you being led to rely more and more on Jesus and on the Spirit, or trying to muddle through on your own strength? Does that voice, that thought being whispered in your ear, is it allowing you to justify yourself to hold condemnation in your heart against your brother or sister? If that's what it's doing, it doesn't point to Jesus, and it's not from God. The outcome of being pointed to Jesus is what we heard last week. If you just look up the page to verse 16 in chapter 3, by this we know love. He laid his life down for us, so we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. My friends, we live in a time of very little humility and extraordinarily weak love. What is the Spirit saying to us? You know, let's talk about the thing that's filling us all with tension these days, both the folks online and the folks in here, and it causes tension between the children of God. Let's talk about COVID a little bit. We talked about racism last week. Why not? Right? Let's talk about what's bothering us. And let's be honest. The situation stinks, doesn't it? Nobody likes this. Nobody wants to wear a mask. Nobody wants to be socially distant. Well, there's a few people who don't mind being socially distanced. But few people, thank you, Noel. Yeah. But few people want to be socially distant from their brothers and sisters. So what do we do? What is the Lord saying? I want to ask you, how do you think you're doing at loving your brother and sister in the way that the Word of God has told you to love them? By laying your life down, setting your own self aside. How are you doing with that? Moment by moment, man, I'll tell you, it's not always, there's times of victory in that, and there's times of absolute failure in my life. I don't know about you, but what voices are you listening to? It's really important that we seek to discern the truth. But if you think that the Spirit of God is leading you to the truth, and that is not oriented toward an ending at love for your brother and sister in Christ, then you're not listening to the Spirit of God. Spirit of God always points you to Jesus, who laid his life down. And let me remind you, he laid his life down for enemies, not friends. Not friends yet. So I'm telling you here that if the voice in your ear is not telling you to lay your life down for your brother and sister, you're not listening to the Word of God. You're not listening to the Spirit. So search your hearts, my friends. Search your hearts. The Spirit of God is leading you to love, not to agree on every point, but to love one another. You can't do that if you're condemning your brother or sister in your heart. And we have a lot of ways of doing that and justifying ourselves in that. You're welcome to debate, but in the end, you must love. Speaking the truth in love, as the Bible says, does not mean dropping a truth bomb and walking away. Although we all love to do that, don't we? It means speak the truth and lay your life down for your brother and sister, always. We've asked that you, when you walk in here, that you wear one of these, that you wear a mask. I only know one person in my life that likes wearing a mask. He is the exception to the rule. We're doing that because the best available evidence suggests that this is a way that we can protect one another in this time. Not because this is the way it should be. So let me be clear. In the interest of love, we ask that you set aside your right to love. Submit it to Jesus and love. But at the same time, let's not pretend that any of us, no matter what our thoughts or feelings on this, have any right to condemn one another. We do not. If you can't wear a mask for some reason, for one reason or another, keep joining us online. That's why we're doing it. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're able to join us like that. We want to include the entire people of God in our worship. My friends, continue to search your hearts. We don't know how long this will last. And I know that it stinks. No one has it all the way right now. So let us love as Jesus commanded us. That's the outcome of true faith in God's Son. That is what it means to be pointed at Jesus and to run to him. Is that the outcome of the voices you're listening to in this time, this age that we live in, of little humility and weak love? Is that the voice? If not, let it be. If not, I've got good news. I've got good news that we've been able to talk about here. We're going to share in this meal. That the answer is not just to try harder. The answer is not to just try to do it better, Norman. The answer is to run to Jesus every time. And to trust that he is enough. The meal that we're about to take part in speaks the truth over our present circumstances. Yeah, look, we mask up, we put gloves on, we have saran wrap over these things. It's weird. I know it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it always will be. But we are doing it now because we need this meal. We are one people, one body in Christ. And we need this meal that speaks this gospel to us, that binds us together, not because we've got it all figured out or we've made ourselves somehow right before God, because the truth of the matter is we have not. That's not why we come. We are one people because of Jesus and Jesus alone. And he, by his Spirit, binds us together. That's the truth, my friends. That's what the Spirit of God is telling you today.